church, you know, we didn't. It's hard to know when the cutoff is going to be. Church, can we give an appreciation to the choir for all that they did this evening? They spoke this evening in song and in narration, "Behold the Lamb," and of various parts of his life, his death, and ultimately one day we will see him in heaven. As we listen to "Behold the Lamb," and I was considering this topic, I thought, where do we go? There's so much we can speak about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I found myself in John chapter number one, where we see this phrase first uttered to my knowledge. I begin reading in verse number 29. And as we have John the Baptist on the scene here, and God's word says this, "The next day he," this being John the Baptist, "he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" Verse 35, "The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked as Jesus walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Tonight, as we look at this message just for a few moments, we consider, "Behold the Lamb." As John the Baptist had declared, "This is the Lamb," he's telling everyone, "Behold, look, listen, pay attention to this man." We see three short statements given by Christ. If your Bible's like mine, it's in red letters. And it's these three statements I want us to consider of what we are to behold, what we learn about Jesus, whether you have never accepted him as Savior, or whether you are already a Christian. I want you to consider these three phrases. The first one we see there in verse 38. After John, the first statement, as we see here, these are the first statements that we see of Christ in the Gospel of John. And after John the Baptist has just pointed out to two of his disciples saying, "Behold the Lamb," we hear these words from Jesus. Two disciples, they leave John the Baptist. They're making the decision to follow Jesus. And Jesus says to them, "What are you seeking?" It's a very simple question, and yet it is profound. Perhaps even life-changing. He looks at those who are going to follow him, and he asks them to consider, what is it you are really looking for? What is it do you desire to see? And I believe that is an important question for each of us. When it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God, when it comes to his word, what is it that I am looking for? I believe that's a question that Jesus would ask anybody who desires to follow him. What are you looking for? What is it that you are seeking? We don't often stop to ask ourselves this question. We're rushing through life. just to meet the day's needs, just to get through things, just to barely make it by, and yet we don't stop and ask ourselves, what is my purpose? What am I looking for? What am I trying to discover? There's a proverb out there. It talks about a man, he's climbing up a ladder his entire life. And when he gets to the end and the top of the ladder, he looks and realizes his ladder was against the wrong wall. How many people are living life? They are going one way and they don't even realize that they haven't even stopped to go, what is it that I am looking for? Where am I going? Jesus asks these questions because he wants to make sure they are following him for the right reasons. Well, what about you and me? Perhaps Jesus wondered, are they looking after me for a political leader, a military leader? Are they looking for somebody they can follow, somebody who's going to provide for them? Or are they looking for the Messiah? Are they looking for God? What is it they're looking for? And you see, John the Baptist knew when he saw Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He knew who Christ was. But what about these disciples? What about you and me? What have you been looking for? What are you trying to get a hold of in this life? And even if you are a believer and you say, "I have already accepted Christ," do you understand that there are people out there that are searching, they're still wanting to know, who is this Christ? Maybe they're looking for answers. Why am I alive? Maybe they're looking, what is the purpose for life? What are you looking for? What can we show them about Christ? You see, the very next words that are spoken to Jesus, and they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And his answer to them says this. As he's looking for them, they're saying, "We want to follow Jesus." And he says, "Come and you will see." It seems like a good question. They want to know, where are you staying? Where are you going? So we know where to follow. But Jesus probably realized this is going to take a little bit of time. This is going to take some work to them. And so he just simply invites them, "Come and see. Come and you will find out where I'm going, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, what I am here for." There are so many questions. In our life, and any individual we come in contact with, there are many questions. At times, people, they want some answers, they're looking, but they don't know what they are looking for. I believe it is so important that not only do we invite to church, but we invite, hey, and ask, what is it that you know about Christ? Where are you going in life? Can I show you? Can I talk to you about grace and mercy and love? Think about what these first disciples would have seen. They would have seen so many miracles. They would have seen and heard Christ in his preaching and teaching. They would have seen crowds and them being fed. They would have experienced the controversies with the Pharisees and religious leaders going against him and see Jesus handle them perfectly. They would see his suffering. They would see his death on the cross. These disciples would also see a Savior who rose again, who still had the nail prints in his hands and the hole in his side. They would see an empty tomb. And it reminds me of the words that Jesus said to Thomas. He says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. There are many that are still out there today who have yet to come to believe. And how blessed is it when they can have somebody who say, when they're asking these questions and they want to know who Christ is, and you can say like Jesus, come and see. Let me show you who Jesus is. Let me show you where he went. Let me show you what he did. Let me show you what he said. And they will see things differently. They will see Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis famously put it, he said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. It is by our faith that we see everything else, just as it was for these first followers. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I invite you to come and see. Get in his word. Get in the book of John and see who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Come to church services. Come and meet with a fellow believer and ask questions. Who is he? What did he do? Why do I need him? And friends, our third question will show us that it'll change everything. Notice what happened after this. It says there in verse 39, so they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. We brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. You see what happens? Not only did they hear and they followed him, then we have Andrew who stays with them. And after this, he is so affected by this, he goes and he tells his brother Simon, he's been changed. He said, look, we have found him. We have found the Messiah. But I love when we get to Jesus' quote, because here comes Peter, or he is Simon at the time. He comes and Jesus, he changes him. He says, you are no longer Simon, the son of John. You are Cephas, or it means Peter. Jesus has asked, what are you looking for? He invites him to come and see. And then it is Jesus then who changes who he is. He changes his identity. The same thing Jesus did at the very beginning of his ministry is the same thing he is doing today. When you come and find Jesus, and when you come and listen to him and you accept Jesus for salvation, it changes who you are. And friends, there are so many people in this world who they are looking, they are searching, they need Jesus. And you may say, man, that's a horrible drunk. Man, that is a no good person over there. They are angry, they are terrible, there is no hope. And I want to tell you, there is hope. Jesus can change everything about them. That hopeless drunk, God can change him and get a hold of his heart and save him. Where he's no longer living for self, he's living for Christ. That person is angry at God and angry at everybody. God can change him and he can live for God and say, glory be to Christ alone. That wretched child who you say, man, they are lost and there's no hope. Oh, God can change everything about them. Just like that prodigal son. He was lost and has been found. I ask you today, would you come and see Jesus? If you've never accepted him as your Savior, come and see him. There is hope for you to be made new again. What is it you're looking for? And then go on and live. Live as if Christ did change you. But live as if you're not climbing that wrong ladder. You are climbing the correct ladder with the eyes wide open, and you can see the world. You can see Christ, and you can live by the faith that he has given you. None other than the very Lamb of God could do this in your life. And church, if you want to see your loved ones and your neighbors and friends and the community around you changed, we need to invite them to come and see Christ. Invite them, show them who he is, so they too can find what it is they are looking for, what it is they need. It's Jesus, and he changes everything. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the Lamb of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. And Lord, he invites the sinner, the weak and the weary, the lowly. He desires the worst of us to come, to experience him, to know him, to receive of his salvation that he freely offers, to bring this change in our life. Lord, oh, that we could see change in our church and in our community. People who are lost and would be living for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff is going to lead us in the song, Glory to His Name. Would you sing with us?
Let's all stand, please, as we sing.